From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. This Wednesday, after a long...
Less than 48 hours away from the next debate with the Republican candidate...
Long...
Countdown to showdown, just 14 hours away...
Long...
Getting ready, getting excited, 2 hours, 29 minutes, 2 seconds to go...
Build up. CNN hosted the second round of the GOP primary debates. As moderator Jake Tapper explained at the outset, this wasn't going to be one of those boring debates where the candidates only speak to the moderator and remain, you know, civil. This was going to be real.
A true debate with candidates addressing each other in areas where they differ, where they disagree on policy, on politics, on leadership.
The candidates were more than happy to oblige.
Gave me money was Donald Trump. He wanted casino gambling in Florida.
I didn't want it.
Yes, you did.
Totally false.
You wanted it, and you didn't get it.
I would have
gotten it. Because I was opposed to casino gambling
before,
during, and after. And that's not, I'm not going to be bought by anybody.
I promise, if I wanted it, I would have gotten it.
No way.
Per CNN's wish, civility went south, along with the facts. For instance, in the exchange you just heard, Jeb Bush was right. Donald Trump did unsuccessfully lobby the former Florida governor for the right to build a casino in the Sunshine State. Trump's flat denial was one of the evening's earliest bald-faced lies, but not the last.
Let's remember what the president said. He said the attack that he was going to conduct was going to be a pinprick. Well, the United States military was not built to conduct pinprick attacks.
Marco Rubio was wrong. President Obama specifically said his proposed strike on Syria would not be a pinprick.
I dare Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama to watch these tapes, watch a fully formed fetus on the table, its heart beating, its legs kicking.
Carly Fiorina was wrong. Vox columnist Sarah Cliff watched all 12 hours of unedited footage of the Planned Parenthood videos, and the scene Fiorina describes does not exist.
Most astonishingly, this agreement trusts the Iranians to inspect themselves.
Ted Cruz? Wrong. Rumors of Iranian self-inspection comes primarily from a discredited AP report. If he'd read the actual deal, he'd know it calls for the presence of outside inspectors. When it comes to misdirection, there's so much to choose from. Finally, faced with a broadside from Donald Trump, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker, whose own testimony was far from spotless, decided he'd had enough.
Just because he says it doesn't make it true. The facts are the facts. We bounced a $3.6 billion budget deficit.
You're right, Governor Walker. Well, according to PolitiFact, half right. But he was completely right about facts being facts. Still, in presidential debates, the facts have a tendency to give way to their estranged cousin, memorably named by former fake pundit Stephen Colbert.
Truthiness. The truthiness is anyone can read the news to you. I promise to feel the news at you.
Truthiness rules in political debates because candidates know that the stickiest moments are the ones in which their assertions feel right, even if they are incontestably wrong. And it's hard to blame the candidates entirely for their bad behavior. They probably wouldn't do it if they thought they had to pay for it. And there's the rub. Because in theory, there are moderators on the stage, seasoned journalists, who won't let them get away with it. Whereas in reality, this hardly ever happens.
Want to make sure we get that for the record, because it took the president 14 days before he called the attack in Benghazi an act of terror.
Get the transcript.
He did, in fact, sir. So let me call it an act of terror.
Can you say that a little louder, Candy?
He did call it an act of terror.
When CNN's Candy Crawley caught Mitt Romney red-handed in 2012, people took notice. And as Crawley explained on The View the next day, she thought that if she cleared it up, the candidates could move on to more substantive issues.
It did not come to me as like, I'm going to fact check this. It came to me as, could we get past this? Because the point is, this is a semantic thing.
But she was under no delusion about how her flagrant act of journalism would be interpreted.
Look, people are going to look at this through the prism that they look at this through. And
did they ever?
Not so dandy, Candy. After the debate, debating a moderator who went too far. Forget town hall. Did Candy Crowley turn it into a town mall?
She committed an act of journalistic terror or malpractice last night. If there were any journalistic standards, what she did last night would have been the equivalent of blowing up her career like a suicide bomber. But there aren't any journalistic standards anymore.
Oh, the terror of truth. When conducting a foreign policy debate, why not hire moderators with specific knowledge and give them the right to use it? We expect politicians to lie, but we don't expect journalists to keep them honest. Speaking truth to power is so last millennium. So, as we bemoan our dysfunctional politics, let's reserve a groan for the all too often pusillanimous practices of TV journalism. What Candy Crowley did in 2012 shouldn't be outrageous. Certainly no more than the surreal experience of watching grown men and women of both parties lie to each other and to us for hours on end, while moderators who should and do know better egg them on.
WNYC Studios is supported by the Brennan Center for Justice, presenting The Failed Experiment of Mass Incarceration. This virtual event on Wednesday, April 17th at 3 p.m. will feature criminal justice advocates and contributors to the new book, Excessive Punishment, How the Justice System Creates Mass Incarceration. They will discuss why the American approach to criminal justice is so punitive and how reforms would prioritize human dignity and restoration over retribution. Find more information and register for this event at brennancenter.org/events.